Today, we are in the fifth week of our sermon series, Holy Order. And I was concerned about how this was going to tie in with Mother's Day and worrying. And when we look at the history of Mother's Day, what I realized was this idea of holy order, that this was never what we have today. This commercialized holiday was never what Mother's Day was supposed to be. And that may be some of the discomfort and pain and struggle that some of us feel on Mother's Day is because things are out of order. And we are being called in this place and in this time to see things in a new light and to rise again in ways that bring reconciliation, that promise resurrection. Mothering Day, some of you may know, started in Europe. It was actually Mothering Sunday. And so people would return to their local neighborhood church for a special service. When it came to the United States, it actually was a completely different thing, something that we don't hear too much about. And we actually have to do some deep digging to find out the true story or the real story or the most probable story. Mother's Day, at its root, began as an international movement meant to change the world, one that began through the collective efforts of influential women who sought to free the world from injustice and warfare. Anne Reeves Jarvis, in 1858, started what was called the Mother's Day Work Clubs. They were an attempt to help children who were dying because of disease-causing environments, who were the children of West Appalachia's poorest workers. She, working with her brother, who was a physician, taught mothers how to boil drinking water and keep food from spoiling. When the Civil War broke out in 1860, Jarvis insisted that these Mother Day clubs become neutral ports in a sea of political differences. She fed and clothed Union and Confederate soldiers. These mothers treated their wounds, and just as they had done for Appalachian's poorest workers, they taught life-saving sanitation methods. When the war ended around 1865, these mothers' friendship circles, these Mother's Day clubs, formed this Mother's Friendship Day, which was held actually at a local courthouse. And although she publicized it as a day to honor mothers, its real purpose was to bring together a fractured community by gathering battle-worn soldiers and their families, whatever side they had been on. Mother's Friendship Day became an annual pacifist event. Following in her footsteps in 1870, Julia Ward Howe, an abolitionist, published the Mother's Day Proclamation, which urged women to promote peace through political means. By 1905, Anna Jarvis, Anne Reeve Jarvis's daughter, was committed to taking up the cause of her mother. And she held a service at a church on the second Sunday in May, 1908, to honor the work of her mother. She told people that her mother had once said she hoped there would be a day for mothers because there were so many days for men, but none for women. So in 1914, Anna Jarvis, after doing a lot of work and lobbying and political rallying, got President Woodrow Wilson to officially name the second Sunday in May as Mother's Day. And just as this happened, the commercialization of the holiday ramped up. And in the end, Anna spent most of her sizable inheritance on boycotts and lawsuits against groups that violated the political spirit of the day. In 1923, Anna crashed a confectioner's convention. In 1925, she protested American War Mothers Convention, which was using Mother's Day as a fundraising event by selling carnations. She was arrested for disturbing the peace. Her efforts, though nearly impossible to ignore, went largely unanswered. In the end, she died without money, without children, contained to a sanitarium in 1948, while Mother's Day continued to gain momentum and is now an international holiday celebrated in 152 countries. It's odd that I find hope and meaning in this story, a story with such a sad ending. But it puts things in perspective, and it gives a certain holy order to the situation we are in today, where each and every woman kind of feels pushed into some corner that is invisible, some isolated category that doesn't quite fit us. This pain of the holiday began with roots of pain. Anna's experience is a microcosm of many and most women's experiences. Never feeling seen or heard or quite understood. In an article that was published a few days ago that said the number one phrase moms are sick of hearing on Mother's Day by Jen Zamzow, the phrase was, "Thank you for doing the most important job in the world." The author wrote, "We appreciate the sentiment, and that it's nice to have a day that celebrates moms, especially when so much of the labor feels invisible. But we are sick of hearing about all that we do as selfless superheroes. What we really want," she writes, "is the assurance that we're not alone, because caretaking truly takes a village. And I don't mean just as an occasional babysitter or casserole drop-off. It requires the infrastructure to help care for children. So this year, I wish more people would say to moms, 'We've got your back. How can we help?'" Mother's Day, a celebration of the nuclear family, is isolating in many ways. It is a reflection of a cultural infrastructure that is meant to separate and subdue. Many authors have written about this separation and subduing, thinking that in some ways the nuclear family was a mistake, but I think what the mistake is to believe that it has always been this way, that it can only be this way. Many cultures prove that this is wrong. Dr. Jamaica Osora talks about the aloha culture in Hawaii. She talks about how missionaries came and changed their culture that was communal, that did rely on a village to raise a child. She writes, "When you look at the way Christian ideas around intimacy and relationships, what they really did is they reduced us into these really isolated households. Households that Anna Jarvis, that Ann Jarvis, that women before us have felt and worked against, systemic issues that we know are there but have such a difficult time articulating. Everything is supposed to work. Everything is supposed to be perfect. It reminds me of the Stepford Wives, where everyone shows up with a smile on their face, even when the story behind the scenes leaves us in tears and exhausted. And the story of Jesus reminds us that pain is a public endeavor to be supported by a community, that the cross is the crucifixion that continues into this day in many different ways, whether we acknowledge them or not." Dr. Azura talks about the task of coming back to each other, because she says that's really what was happening, that they were being removed from each other, displacing us from each other, alienating us from each other. So when they talk about coming back to each other, they are talking about how they relate to everyone around them, which means, she says, we're talking about how we make community, which means we're talking about what world we're going to live in. Anna Jarvis, Ann Jarvis, were talking about what world they wanted to live in. Mother's Day was not an acknowledgement and a celebration of the way things were, but it was a radical idea that things could be different, that pain could be visible, that peace was possible. And systemic issues are at the crux of all things. For mothers have experiences that differ days to day, but we are called to return to the idea of mothering in community. Where we belong defines who we are. We are in large part who our communities see us as being. And this was the work of Ann Jarvis. The mission that Anna, her daughter, was willing to sacrifice everything for to preserve, that we are more than what our communities think we are. A shift in a paradigm is what they died for. A return to mother not as an identity reserved for a few, but a verb planted as an expectation in all of creation. A rise of mothering, which requires a return to community. A return not as a commodity, but as a commitment. And in this return is a revolution. The isolation of the nuclear family transforms into the integration of equanimity and the responsibility of tending to one another, caring for each other, raising the other above the fences built to keep us in our places, to see the possibilities that Anna was willing to sacrifice everything for. It is the reality that the worries of today have become more than we can carry and have always been more than one person could solve. It is the reality that the priority must remain not on the perpetuation of an oppressive kingdom, but on the cultivation of the kingdom. Dom for the Latin word domus, meaning house, household, home. The place where our identity is not a prison to isolate, nor should it be a label that creates grief or scarcity of experience. This is the return to the mothering earth, the mothering of a community, the promise and the potential of a home where peace refuses to settle until everyone fully belongs. Amen.